wise men, kings from the east, magi. Have you ever really stopped to think about who these people were? I can tell you that there's a lot more that we don't know about them than the small amount that we do know. Who are they? Where did they come from? How many of them were there? And when did they get to Bethlehem? Well, many times you'll hear these men referred to as the three wise men, or, as you heard this morning, as we sang the beautiful, "We three kings of Orient are." There's no evidence to support three people at all. We know that there were three gifts because Scripture tells us that three gifts were offered, but there could have been any number of wise men. Some believe the wise men were a group of astronomers from the Mesopotamia area. That's certainly east of Jerusalem. Even though, you know, as I said, we sang, "We three kings of Orient are," there's nothing in the Bible to suggest that these people were kings at all. I want to suggest to you that their entourage may have been pretty large and unique for the king to take notice of them. And as the gospel said, the people, all of Jerusalem, was disturbed with him. The image that we have of three men and their camels is pretty much not what took place. Tradition has even given these visitors names, three names: Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Since the Bible does not mention it, we have no way of knowing the validity of this tradition. Now, I'm not trying to blow holes in the tradition that we've been celebrating for 2,000 years. I just want to shed some light on the truth of the matter. And it does not lessen at all what these people brought and to who they brought it. We can also draw from the reading today that these magi were Gentiles coming from the east, the land of the Gentiles. And it clearly shows us that people of all nations acknowledge Jesus as King of Kings. What was it that they said to Herod? "So we can go and worship him." There has to be belief in order to worship. There can be no worship without belief. And it's important to note, by the way, the term magi comes from the Greek magos, which means wise man, astrologer, sorcerer, or magician. Magi, magician. In any case, these men knew and studied the scriptures. They believed them enough to go on a very long journey following a star. And they recognized the significance of Jesus as God's own Messiah and King. These were pretty wise men to be able to recognize that and to go on this journey. The Magi, coming into Jerusalem, approached King Herod seeking information concerning the newborn king, the King of the Jews. And there's another misconception about this account, and it's concerning the timeline this event took place. These men did not find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. Our holy gospel today tells us Jesus is referred to as a young child, and they came to him in a house, not a stable. So some time has passed since the birth of Jesus. And apparently, Joseph and Mary moved into a house in Bethlehem, awaiting further instructions from God. There's also more evidence of the timeline found in Herod's attempt to destroy the Christ. When Herod saw that he was outwitted by these wise men, he sent his decree to begin the unthinkable slaughter of all the males 2 years of age and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. As was foretold, Rachel was weeping for her children and would not be comforted. the evil had been done. We're told that after speaking with the wise men, King Herod was disturbed. He called the chief priests and scribes together and questioned them about the Messiah's birthplace. He's told that he was to be born in Bethlehem. They simply told him what the word of God proclaimed in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people, Israel. It's rather interesting that the Jewish leaders knew the prophecies, but they didn't care enough to go and see for themselves. Remember what the scripture, what the gospel said today. King Herod was disturbed, and so was all of Jerusalem. So much could be said about these leaders' apathy. Instead, we have a group of Gentiles who were willing to cross a desert, to follow a star, to offer gifts, and to offer worship from their hearts. After consulting with the chief priests and the scribes, Herod sent them to Bethlehem to search diligently for this child. Herod pretends that he desires to go and worship the King of the Jews as well. It's quite interesting, though. You need to know this. Herod, who was king over the Jewish people, was not a Jew himself. Let me give you some of his background. He came from the line of Ishmael. Remember Abraham? Ishmael, the son who was not born of the promise, but out of impatience. He had the son who was Isaac. Now there's something more you should know. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau got angry because he had sold his birthright for a bowl of stew to his brother. Esau took off, and he went and married his cousin, the daughter of Ishmael. And they moved to a place called Edom. King Herod comes from this line, from the land of Edom, descending from Esau. No wonder he was worried about his job. A true king of the Jews might take his kingdom away. Or so he thought. The wise men do eventually reach the Savior. God leads this entourage with his star directly to the home where Jesus is staying. They fell before the king and they offered him gold, a traditional gift for a king. I can just picture one of these men kneeling down before this child and saying, "Gold for the King of Kings." But then again, that's my speculation, not from the Word of God. Gold for a king was brought. Then frankincense, a symbol for his kingly role. And lastly, myrrh, a bitter gum and costly perfume, which oozes from a certain tree or shrub in Arabia and Ethiopia, or it can be obtained by incisions made in the bark. As an antiseptic, it was used for embalming, a foreshadowing of Jesus' death and burial. Isn't it interesting that these men, no matter how many of them there were, had planned all along, from the beginning of their journey, to visit a king. And so they brought these gifts. They didn't just pick them up along the way. There were no Belks. There was no place to be able to go. No Walmart, no Kmart. They had packed these gifts from the very start of their journey. And when they got there, they were overjoyed. After the time of worship, God warns these men in a dream of Herod's plan to destroy Jesus. And as a result, the Magi and their entourage depart another way. There are many people who just don't recognize God. They see his work all around them, but they give credit to everything else. Mankind, Mother Nature, angels, anything and everything but God. God was trying to show these men something special, and they were blessed to observe the Savior firsthand. Today, God is doing the very same thing. He truly desires that lost people would see His Son for who He really is, the Savior of the whole world. The world only needs to open their eyes and see Him for who He truly is. These men did not only open their eyes, they opened their hearts. I'll bet that there were some people who saw the star but ignored it and kept going on their merry way with their daily lives. These men opened their hearts to what God was trying to show them. Many today see God at work and actually do know that it's God who is working. They just don't care. There are many who really do believe that Jesus is Savior and the only way to heaven, but the others just don't care. They refuse to open their hearts. I pray, and I hope you will join me in praying that God will open their eyes, ears, hearts, and minds on this Epiphany to His Son, the King of Kings. It's believed that the Magi followed this star for approximately 2 years. What a picture of faith. They followed a light in the sky. They didn't know how long the journey was going to be. They didn't know what they would encounter along the way. They didn't know exactly what they were going to find when they reached their destination. Regardless of what the journey held, they followed God. They relied on the Lord. And that, my brothers and sisters, is exactly what we must do. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. We must rely on God. As Christians, as St. Andrew's Anglican Church, we are following a God-given direction. We don't know how long our journey is going to be. We don't know what we're going to encounter along the way. We don't know what we'll find when we reach our destination. But we continue on in grateful obedience because we trust God and His holy word. Just look at the examples of these men with a faith that gave them great joy. Let each one of us seek God's guidance, direction, wisdom, and joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.